Hey team, you're about to experience my interview with Andrea Bozio from Rewix. Rewix is a B2B e-commerce platform that has been built to be as easy to use as Shopify. It is a cost-effective platform that has features I have not seen in any other B2B e-commerce platform before. Andrea and I had a fantastic conversation about the current state of B2B e-commerce and what he sees is going to be happening in the future around B2B e-commerce. We had a fantastic conversation, and I hope you enjoy. Welcome to B2B Commerce Corner. Commerce Corner is a sub-series of the E-Commerce Edge podcast discussing all things B2B commerce through the lens of agencies, consultants, merchants, and more. Enjoy. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the podcast. It is my very great pleasure to welcome Andrea Bozio from 011 to the podcast. Welcome, Andrea.
Thank you. Thank you, Jason. Thank you to everybody. And nice to meet you, everybody. I'm very happy to be here and very honored to be hosting this show. So I hope to provide my personal impression and my personal story about the e-commerce sector and B2B commerce in particular.
Absolutely love it. And we were talking off air about the fact that you're from Turin, Italy, which of course, the Shroud of Turin. Turin is definitely on the tourist route. And we were talking about the fact that hopefully I've been to Spain, but I haven't ever been to Italy. And the next time I'm in Italy, you have graciously offered to be my tour guide around Turin.
Obviously, it will be a very pleasure to stay with you here in Turin. I hope to see everybody here because it's a very big and also pretty city. It has a big environment change in the last years because after the Olympic period, we have the Winter Olympic in 2006. And after that, the city changed everything. And so it became from an industrial city to a more tourist city. But in the past, we also have an important industry in the computer science because here we born with Olivetti, and Olivetti was one of the first producer of a personal computer. And so if you look on the internet about the story about Olivetti, maybe you will find something that will be interesting if you love the ancient computer science and also the ancient personal computing industry.
And we were also talking about the fact off air that Italy full stop is been very well known for high technology, but it's a fusion of high technology and art in many cases, from automotive to engineering to amusements. I was talking with you off air about one of my friends here in Mexico. He's actually Italian by birth, and he works in the amusement industry, designing roller coasters and other amusement rides. And a lot of the manufacturers of global amusement rides are based in Italy. So Italy has a long, proud history of designing technology that is also highly functional and highly beautiful. So it definitely you've stuck to your Italian roots in that regard.
Yeah, it's correct. I'm very proud and happy to share with you the fact that maybe in some particular industry, for example, automotive or fashion or something like that, we created design in the past. So in the period of the Bella Vita, maybe there are the most beautiful car that were developed in Italy from Ferrari, from Fiat, also from Alfa Romeo. So we have from Maserati, Lamborghini and something like that. They developed some concept that have a design part, not only in terms of speed and something like that, in terms of engine and something like that, but also the design was very particular. And now these kind of cars are very famous and very researched by the collectors and something like that. So they like to have this kind of stuff in their garage. And so I think that I am very passionate about cars. So I think that the cars industry is a very important part of the Italian story, but also fashion, food, the furniture are the F that we are famous in the world. So there are the things that maybe very well. Unfortunately, in the technology part of Italy, maybe is not very well known. And in fact, we have a little investment in research and development. So our GDP, the part that we spent in the research industry, in the software industry, is not very huge. And compared with France or Germany, that in this period are very, very interesting from the artificial intelligence industry and something like that. So in Italy, unfortunately, we don't have this kind of investment. So we try to fill the gap, but it's not easy to keep the position and to improve the opportunity. There are a lot of countries that are more developed than Italy in this moment, from my point of view, unfortunately.
But you're doing your best. You've been working in this space for almost 20 years now, and 011 or 011, you bill yourselves just in for all transparency. I've never worked with the 011 platform before, but you bill yourself as the innovation maker, the rule breaker, and the game changer. You want to be the best provider of MarTech software solutions for B2B sales in the world. That is a very lofty aspiration, my friend.
Yeah, this is our mission. Unfortunately, it's a very aspirational mission. So we work in order to fill this kind of mission. And this is our the idea that we use at the starting of the company in 2010. I started in the computer industry 20 years ago, more or less, and I have a lot of hair in my head. And after that, I lost the hair, but I increased the competence and the skills in the software industry. And after that, in 2011, more or less, we encountered a customer of us that he decided to enter in the B2B market. So in that moment, we had the chance to find some software that was in the market in the e-commerce sector, and we take in consideration a short list of the possibility that we have in terms of open source and also closed source, and we find that at the end there is no a solution that is complete as the requirement of the customer. And so we decided to start from scratch to developing an entire new brand new software, and we started with the development of Rewix, which is our platform. And we designed an e-commerce platform that is very specific designed for the B2B processes and also for the B2B sector in every industry. For example, in the end products, where the product is finished, and so you have to distribute product that are already finished, but also in the intermediary product, or for example, in the configurable product, because in this case, the industry is more interested in order to develop and to sell product that are typically from the B2B. So selling a finished product is a typical also of the B2C. So the B2C is able to sell everything. But if you want to sell, for example, spare parts or something like that, and you have to enter in the ERP because you have a specific requirements in the ERP in terms of the spare parts that you have to apply to a specific machinery or a specific tool, something like that, you have to have the integration with ERP, and the music is completely different. We understand that there is no a solution. We take in consideration Magento at the beginning and also PrestaShop, the early version of PrestaShop, but neither of that were able to create the solution that we are looking for, and so we decided to start from scratch. Magento, at the end, finished with the chance to be a B2B environment because you can use a lot of plugins. But after the Magento 2, the situation of Magento in Italy is not so good. So only big company are working with Adobe, and the other one are abandoning the commerce, the open source version. So they decided to move to other platform. And in this case, we are trying to propose our solution that is developing Java Enterprise. We make a very complete and integrated solution that is able to communicate with the ERP, to communicate with WMS, with the warehouse management system. We have a product information management integrated, and so we have some marketing automation feature. In these years, we completed the platform, and we found that there are 30, more or less 25 different elements that create a different environment for the B2B compared with the B2C. So for us, the solution to take the B2C as a solution for the and putting inside the plugin and something like that is not a good solution in order to solve the issue.
Absolutely. And so you started out, like when you first started the company, you started out as purely a marketing automation platform, and then you evolved and added additional modules like commerce and CRM and AI, and as well as WMS over time. And so the holistic platform, holistic platform is now called Rewix, not to be confused with Wix. It's Rewix. No. And now you are a complete platform. So you are a complete B2B e-commerce experience platform. You call yourself an EXP, an e-commerce experience platform. And so that means that as part of the modules that you deliver, you've got e-commerce, you've got CRM, marketing automation, analytics, WMS, OMS, and lightweight PIM capabilities all as part of the one master B2B commerce platform, correct?
It's correct. It's very correct. Unfortunately, we, as I told you before, in Italy, there are not big companies. So the important part for the company is to have a complete solution, an integrated solution. Then they don't want to spend too much in order to integrate, to have different providers, do not want to have too much integration with other solutions. They have maybe an ERP, so the ERP part of the business is not in discussion, but we try to create a solution that is able to provide the minimum requirements in order to start a B2B business without any other integration. So our selling point is that one. So to have a complete integrated platform that is able to provide the entire B2B channel, if you sell directly, if you sell with the B2B2C distribution model, or if you have a marketplace integration, we are able to provide you the entire B2B process in the entire supply chain of your distribution channel.
Wow, amazing. So yeah, I see here that you have the kind of the management and analytics layer, you've got the distribution layer in the platform, the production layer, the finance, marketing, sales. You've got modules that obviously you integrate with ERP for the financial piece, because you need to integrate with ERP. You need to pull inventory numbers down, for example. You need to pull core product information down. Now, do you guys consider yourself a SaaS platform? Are you on-premise, self-hosted platform? What's your software delivery model?
This SaaS, software as a service. So our idea is to create an environment that has a setup. After the setup, we have running services, so it's possible to have every month the subscription for the platform. We, in these years, we have a lot of customers that started the business with us, and we, unfortunately, we have already with us, so we are very happy that they are very loyal customers, so we are very happy with them. I make some calculation. In these years, we create more than 500 million euros for our customers using our platform. The B2B market is very interesting because the numbers are very huge. You have orders that are less frequent than the B2C sector, but the amount is very important. In fact, we have some needs in turn to have better payment solution. It's not easy to have a solution that is very well suited for the B2B market. And this is a point that we are starting to work with some different operator in the fintech sector in order to find a new solution to answer to the needs to create a payment very fast and very cheap, because the problem is that they are very expensive also. So the cost of the payment is not, we need to take in consideration.
Yeah. And so are you guys working with somebody like Balance Payments or some of the other B2B focused fintech players to bring B2B specific payment methods and technologies to your platform?
Correct. We are trying to find the right solution. Obviously, we have the immediate wire transfer. So this is the most important part of the business. Also, we have integration with a lot of credit card and payment processor by credit cards, PayPal, Stripes, and so on. Obviously, are quite easy to understand. That is very important for the business. But the buy now, pay later is quite different from the B2C industry, because buy now, pay later is a different story in the B2B market. And also you have to have, the important part is that there is a lot of important credit. You have orders that are paid by credit, so you have to fulfill in advance before the payment, and this is different. Another different part of the business is the fact that you have more than one order open in the same moments. Though the B2C e-commerce platform are not able to manage most part of them are not able to manage more than one order at a time, because, for example, since they started from the B2C market, they tend to create a very fast checkout creation. So they try to force the customer in order to put the product in the basket and to complete the order. But if you have more than one order, that, for example, is a request for quote or something like that, it's possible that you have more than one order open at the same time for the same customer. So you need to manage more than one order, and this is not so very familiar for the B2C industry e-commerce. And so this is another point that is very important. Also, there are important part of the listing price. Different price lists are for different customer, different payment condition, different transport, different user experience, because sometimes people don't underestimate the fact that the experience is completely different. Because if I purchase something in the B2C commerce, I purchase for myself. So I have an emotional part. I'm very interested in order to find the best solution. If I'm a buyer for a company, the product that I'm purchasing is not for me. So it's not my needs. It's not my passion. I don't understand the fact that I have to purchase some hammer, for example, or something like that. I don't use this kind of solution. Or for example, kids' clothes, that I don't have a kid, so I don't care about kids' clothes. But the fact that you have to provide a very user experience that is easy for them to create a complex order with a lot of possibility to mix different sizes and different quantities and to create a cart with a single action. So you have a matrix of different sizes and colors, for example, if you are in the fashion industry, and you have to put every combination in the checkout and in the order at the same time in order to have a quick order. Another important part of the order is the fact that the order by Excel. So some customer want to upload an Excel file with the entire SKU and the quantities and don't have to navigate too much the e-commerce platform. So there are a lot of tricks that the customer are looking for in order to have a different experience. So I think that there is not the part of the integration with the ERP or the listing price or something like that, but also the important part is the fact that the user experience is different. And you have taken consideration the fact that your buyer is purchasing something that is not for him, but is for his company and something like that. So this is my short story.
I couldn't agree with you more. As somebody that works directly in the B2B commerce space, and that's a heavy focus of my consulting, I couldn't agree with you more that the customer experience that we're trying to create, a lot of people will say, hey, look, in the B2B world, we want to make it as D2C or B2C as we can. But I actually think that's a misnomer. I think that we're actually trying to, instead of facilitating shopping, we're actually facilitating buying in the B2B world. And so instead of creating this immersive shopping experience, usually when B2B buyers come to our websites, they already know what they want and need to buy. They just want to find it as quickly as possible, check out with it as quickly as possible, and get it shipped to them as quickly as possible. That's their purpose, right? They're doing this as a job. They're not doing this for pleasure. They're not doing this for recreation. They're not doing this to improve how they look to society. They're doing this as part of their day job. And so any technology that can help them do this faster, more efficiently, et cetera, is going to be a winner ultimately. And when you think about the landscape, because what's happened over the last few years, especially during COVID, when field sales reps couldn't go and they couldn't meet with their customers, a lot of B2B brands realized we are not ready for a world where our field sales reps are not driving 80, 90% of our revenues. We're not ready for that world. We're not ready for the digital world. We're not ready for the e-commerce world. And so I think a lot of B2B brands got B2B e-commerce religion during COVID, so to speak, and they started to realize, oh my God, we're behind the eight ball here, and we're going to become irrelevant really quickly if we don't introduce self-service e-commerce into our buying options, because the B2B world for a long time was driven by two things, EDI and sales reps, field sales, and sometimes in-house sales, right? And so your biggest customers, you're going to do EDI, their ERP is going to communicate with your ERP, and very few humans are even going to be involved. But for everything other than those sort of tier one buyers that are your whales, anything other than that, those smaller customers typically do not have the IT capability to purchase via EDI. And so you've got to enable them with some form of digital commerce that gives both sides of the transaction efficiency, both the buyer and the seller. And that's where B2B e-commerce feels like the perfect fit.
It's correct. I agree with you at 100% because it's the same situation here in Italy, and also the COVID period provide a very boost for the e-commerce, B2B commerce, because a lot of firm understand that the previous world is not working more, so they have to make some different approach to the digital channel and also to the distribution channel in the entire value chain of the company. So they decided to create a different experience for the customer. They integrated the sales rep, because the sales reps during the COVID period, they were not able to visit a customer or something like that. So they have to find different approach in order to receive orders, to manage the orders, provider and something like that. And this provide a very interesting situation for company like ours in order to develop different solution for this kind of opportunities. I think that in these years, the B2B commerce provided two different results, very important. The first one that every company is looking for is efficiency, because if you introduce a solution like, for example, e-commerce B2B, you are able to provide very efficient order management and something like that. This is the first results that you can get from the e-commerce. But another part of the other part of the coin, the other part of the moon, the other side of the moon, is the fact that you are able to make a new business, because you are able to open different markets, to have different model, to enter in different industry or in the in different sector that in the beginning you are not able to understand. I have a lot of example that I can provide you in order to understand what I'm looking for, what I'm discussing for. And for example, one of our customers that was selling fashion and was involved in the fashion industry, he started selling clothes and finished selling digital services, because he was able to create, for example, a subscription for his catalog. So he sell the catalog in the feed of the catalog. So her customer are able to import the products, the feed, and they are paying in order to import the product with description and images, because this facility allow them to create an e-commerce B2C in few seconds. So this is the B2B2C market model. And for example, we have a lot of integration, for example, with Shopify, with WordPress, with Magento, with other platform. And in this case, we have the chance for our customer to share the catalog with this kind of platform, B2C platform. And the retail website is able to import the product from the B2B, directly from the B2B. In this case, the new e-commerce create a different market model and different value chain for the supplier, because it's able to sell digital goods. For example, the subscription. We integrate PayPal with the subscription model, also if you are selling clothes. So it's not so easy to imagine at the beginning, but we have this kind of experience also.
And when you think about how your platform came to be and what the future of your platform looks like, how do you think about trying to differentiate yourself from the Shopify's, the Big Commerce's, the Oro Commerce's, the Vtex's? We have a lot of platforms out there today, the Centra Commerce's of the world. We have so many e-commerce platforms out there today that either started out as B2B platforms from the ground up. They were always designed. We think of a platform like Oro. It was always a B2B platform. It never focused on the B2C and D2C world. And then we think of other platforms like BigCommerce, for example, or like Shopify, where they bolted on B2B functionality after the fact, because they started out very much as a B2C and D2C focused platform. And then they realized they got religion again around B2B e-commerce, and they realized, oh my God, this is where the opportunity is. This is where the growth is in the industry. We really have to take advantage of this. So we need to bolt on some B2B functionality after the fact to make it more attractive to B2B merchants and to meet their needs over time. So how do you, when you first started building this, so in the trajectory of 011, how long after you had built your MarTech stack did you start adding all of the commerce functionality to the platform to where you eventually arrived at Rewix in terms of comparison to other platforms out there that were on a similar journey, adding B2B functionality to their platform?
Yeah. Thank you for the question. It's a very tough question, because it's not easy to compete in this market, because it's a very competitive market. And we have a lot of big competitors, like the one that you... that you cite before, that you quote before, but there is another one that is coming very fast and very dangerous for us, maybe, which is HubSpot. HubSpot is providing the new e-commerce hub that is very designed for the B2B industry, so it's able to provide the payment by link and other feature that maybe can allow to a company that already integrated the catalog in the HubSpot, and also they manage the deal to have also the payment and to complete with the invoice. This is in Italy, HubSpot is a very important competitor, and also we have integrated HubSpot in some solution with some of our customers, and so we know very well that API are maybe not so efficient like the other one, but it's a very important competitor, and the solution that they propose is very interesting because it provides the marketing and also the sales with the e-commerce part of the order, so the order management. But also Shopify is trying to enter in the B2C market. I don't think that Shopify has this kind of mission, and also the term of, I don't know, it's not very recognized by the market like a B2B solution. They are too much focused on the B2C, direct to consumer and something like that. And I don't think that it's not easy to make a different configuration in terms of experience, something like that. I saw, for example, e-commerce layer, other tools that are providing the integration for the B2B market, but I don't think that it's very a good solution for our customer. For example, BigCommerce is very strong, so BigCommerce is very focused on the B2B market, so BigCommerce has a different shape and different approach to the market. Maybe it's a little bit smaller than Shopify. They don't have the subscription, the payment model like Shopify, so they work in different way. The revenue are completely different for BigCommerce and Shopify, but I think that BigCommerce is a better solution than Shopify for the B2B from my point of view. Obviously, I think that, for example, there are a lot of other platforms, for Salesforce Commerce. We have Adobe. We have other solutions that are very famous and very well ranked. I think that the different point from our side is the awareness of the market, because it's not easy to choose the challenger. We in the market, we are the challenger, and the IT manager or marketing manager, if they choose the challenger, have a lot of possible downside. So they have a lot of risk if they've decided to choose the challenger. But the challenger sometimes has something that is better than the leader. So it depends. Obviously, we are not in the Gartner quadrant, so it's not it's out of our scope to be in this kind of report, because it's very important. It requests a lot of investment in order to be in the Gartner report. But I think that we have some selling point that is different. Our solution is very designed for the small companies, middle companies. It's a solution that is an enterprise in terms of technology, because it's entirely developed in Java Enterprise. We have a base in Postgres, SQL, and our stack is in Vadin. Vadin is a framework in Java that is very famous in Europe, and it started to be also known in US. And we have a lot of features. For example, we have a mirror cluster used for the BI. We have embedded Tableau, for example, for the customer that want to have KPI and dashboard by themselves. We have the Tableau embedded, hosted in our server. So also in terms of privacy, in terms of data management, we have a very strong policy because we don't want to share the data of our customer with too much operator different from us. And also we try to, now we are working obviously in the AI sector, but also we are working in the Delta Lake, because we think that integrate a cluster of Delta Lake, multi-tenant Delta Lake, is very important if you want to make an integration with unstructured data and something like that. So it's very important for our customer to have a different repository, not only the database or the FTP part of the business, but also the Delta Lake, in order to have a different integration of data. So we're working in order to be different from the market. Obviously, it's a very tough strategy and very challenging way, but we are trying to do the best in order to follow this dream.
Look, it takes those of us who are just crazy enough to believe that we can do something. I think it's the famous Steve Jobs quote, or the famous Apple quote, about the people that are crazy enough to think that they can usually do. So the reality is sometimes it takes maybe a little bit of irrational exuberance, irrational excitement about a sector to become successful. And when we think about some of the out-of-the-box functionality of the platform, you've been B2B focused since day one, because of course the original MarTech platform was B2B focused. You never had that distraction of needing to build a platform that was heavily focused on the B2C and D2C world. And therefore, you don't have that baggage that comes along with a platform that has some maybe some legacy overheads or legacy functionality associated with the B2C world. And so therefore, it allows you to really be laser focused on that B2B functionality. You've talked a little bit about price list. You've talked a little bit about CPQ. You've talked a little bit about PIM, talked a little bit about order management. And then, of course, what I, as an outsider looking in, and again, in all transparency, I have never used the Rewix platform before, but as an outsider looking in, it also feels like the fact that you've got this native marketing automation platform that's B2B focused built into the platform, that feels like you're almost coming at it a little bit like a HubSpot, in the sense that HubSpot started out as a marketing automation platform first too, and then they much later started thinking about commerce. And in fact, much later they added CRM functionality, much later they added trading functionality and invoicing functionality, et cetera. So they were very late to the commerce game as well. But it feels maybe one of the biggest differentiating factors for you is that you have a B2B focused marketing automation platform built into the core commerce platform at its heart.
Correct.
And that is something that even in the B2B e-commerce world, where you look at some of the B2B focused platforms out there, you typically then have to go and buy a B2B focused marketing automation platform, because B2B marketing automation is so different, and personalization and communications. Yes. Those are so wildly different in the B2B world versus the B2C and D2C world. In the B2C and D2C world, you're oftentimes communicating with people that you don't know very well. That you have very little behavioral information on them. You have very little demographic information on them. You just have very little information on the buyers that you're communicating to in the B2C world. And I use that word to very specifically, because typically in the B2C world, it's all outbound communication. There is no two-way dialogue happening in the B2C world. It's usually you're running Klaviyo, you're pushing out emails at scale, you're pushing out SMSs at scale, you're doing on-site personalization at scale using Wisdom of the Crowd technology. You're doing site search personalization at scale through Wisdom of the Crowd technology. But in the B2B world, it's very different, because a tremendous amount about your customer, exactly who they are, exactly what category they fit in, exactly how much they're purchasing, what frequencies, you tend to know what their annual spend is going to be. You just know so much more about them, the individual buyers within that organization, what likely MOQs that they're going to need, what payment methods they're going to need, what shipping methods. Oftentimes it's FOB shipments. So you're actually shipping on their buyer account instead of shipping on your account. And then from a logistics perspective, you're now moving cartons, pallets, and containers instead of individual items or packets door to door. So it's a completely different world. And so it feels one of the differentiators for you guys has to be the marketing automation piece. Because in the B2C world, if you try to use a B2C focused marketing automation platform in the B2B world, you are going to fail. One of the key issues is the fact that something as simple as pricing is an attribute of the customer. It is not an attribute of the product. And so if you were to try to use something like Klaviyo for your B2B marketing automation, it's going to fail miserably, because you're going to be pushing out information that is not relevant to the individual B2B buyer that you is part of the account. Because in the B2B world, we don't have individual customers. We have accounts. And that is a very different paradigm to the B2C world. Hey team, have a big favor to ask you. Please pause this episode and send the link of this episode to someone you know that you think would enjoy this content. Really appreciate you spreading the word. This is how we grow. We're not a Joe Rogan. We don't have big, massive advertising budgets, but we absolutely want to grow. We want to get the learnings from all of these episodes out to as wide of an audience as possible, and we need your help to do it. Thank you, and now back to your listening.
Correct. You have a company. You are not selling to a single individual, but you are selling to a company. And maybe the purchasing process is very complex, because you have a buyer that has the chance to create the order and something like that. But before, the needs is provided by other people in the company, and also the process is different and take different step, and everybody has to provide a green light or red light to the process. So the buyer is only the last guy that is involved in the purchasing process and create the order and to complete the order, but it's not the user, it's not the decision maker of the solution. So the process is very complex. Obviously, you know very well your customer, but you start at the beginning understanding your customer, and also we have some sort of barrier, because you don't want that everybody is able to enter in your website. You have to make sure that very well your customer, you have the process that provide you enrollment, and so you have the customer has to be very well qualified and also very well ranked in order to enter in the purchasing area of the company, of this website. There are, when we start a project, we have different configuration. For example, there are some B2C product, different e-commerce platform that provide the chance to navigate, to surf the price freely, so you don't have to create an account, or other that provide the needs to create an account at the beginning, so you don't have the chance to see anything, and you have to create a profile to enter a registration path. You enter your VAT, for example, here in Italy is a partita IVA, which is the VAT number in order to be ranked as a company that is in the industry, in the right industry. You have to provide the information and credits in order to enter in the purchasing process and something like that. After that, when you create the relation with the customer, and the CRM part is most important part of the project, because you don't have to have an automation, for example, like in the B2C, where there are a lot of customers that you can enter in the funnel. A lot of customers you enter in the funnel, you have a conversion rate and you have a purchasing. And this is how the B2C industry is working with the marketing automation stuff. But in the B2B area, you have a different approach because you have a strong relation with the customer. The loyalty is higher. So you have to manage the CRM relation with the customer. So you change the instruments and the tool that you are using. It's not using marketing automation like HubSpot, the marketing part, but use the sales part with the CRM and something like that, for example, if you want to stay with the HubSpot example that is very well known for the people. And in this case, completely different approach. I want to share you a joke, because a few years ago, I met a customer and he told me that he finished the market. He has all the customer that he can have, he already have. So he don't have the chance to have one more, because he's selling products for the right way. So yeah, in Italy, there are two companies that is providing the service of train and something like that. So you have two customers. So the solution is you don't have to have any marketing activities in order to find new customers in Italy, because you already know all the customer that is available in the market. So his selling point was to have an efficient process in order to sell more, to manage the spare parts, for example, for the solution that is providing to the industry, and also to have a better understanding of the customer and strong relation with the buyer in order to make different opportunities and to work with, for example, with the deal, with the opportunity, with the request for quote and something like that. But the main part of also is the spare parts, because if you are selling products that are very complex in terms of production and something like that, for example, machinery for the industry or something like that, you have to have spare parts and something like that that are very expensive in terms of order management. So when you have to provide the support service for the solution that you sell a few years ago, for example, for some industry, particular industry, something like that, the spare parts are very expensive in terms of search, in terms of manage of the order, but not so very productive in terms of gain and something like that. So the idea is to find a better solution to have an efficient process to manage the order for spare parts, for example. And this is a different perspective from to create a funnel with the end product and to sell to end customer and something like that.
Yeah, it's a totally different world. And when we think about some of the other complexities in the B2B world, like CPQ, like managing MOQs, like managing buying increments, having those individual price lists, and not only individual price lists, but also restricted catalogs by customer. Yeah. You say, okay, this customer can access these 1,000 SKUs, and this customer can access this different 1,000 SKUs, but then everybody else can manage access the rest of the catalog, which might be 5,000 SKUs. So you have these very unique restrictions in the B2B world to make sure that buying experience is tailored at the account and sometimes the user within the account level. And obviously you've got credit limits and credit restrictions and credit stop. Plus you have the fact that something like 90%+ of transactions in the B2B world are post-paid, meaning they are paid after the transaction takes place, whether that be on account and they pay 20th of the month following, or whether that be that maybe they even are going to pay by business credit card, but it's still on account. And then they're going to go into the back end maybe an invoice portal at a later date, and they're going to pay based on a statement. Instead of an individual invoice, they're going to say, okay, I have $10,000 outstanding on this statement, and it's composed of 5 different orders or invoices. Cool. I'm going to pay all $10,000 off on this statement in one hit, in one payment, and that covers these 5 orders. They're just speaking in round numbers here. And so we have like almost every single aspect of the transaction, right from consideration of who to onboard as a supplier, how you get onboarded as a customer of that supplier and go through the credit approval process, go through the account creation process, go through the, not only does the customer usually have to be created in the ERP, then via integration, that a mirror instance of that customer and all their data has to be synced with the commerce platform so that we know what their catalog is. We know what their pricing is. We know what their MOQs are, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then if they've got an account manager assigned to them, we also have to manage the CPQ process to make sure that when somebody requests a quote on the front end, it goes to the right person in the back end for approval and for negotiation. So pretty much there's very little, when you think about the end-to-end average typical B2B transaction, it is pretty much different in almost every single way to the B2C world, isn't it?
Correct. It's very correct. I don't have to add too much because you are very precise and you provide you describe the entire process of the purchasing process in the B2B commerce sector. It's a complex process that involves a lot of different entities during the process, and also the steps are not. It's not linear because, for example, if you ask for a request for quote, you have to wait that the sales rep provide you the different price. After that, you have to approve the request for quote, and then the request for quote became an order. The order will be confirmed and something like that. And also you have to the fulfillment of the order before you receive the payment. So you have the credit exposure for your customer. So it's not easy to manage if you don't know the customer, because if you open the market to different countries, something like that, you don't know if the customer will be a good payer or not. So selling outside your country is not easy because it exposes you to different risk in terms of the ability of the customer to fulfill the order entirely and to pay the amount required by the invoice. Not easy. In fact, one of the parts that we are working on is the part of the data information service, because the fintech sector is providing information in terms of the ability of the customer to have a good reputation and also the status in terms of credit rating and something like that is very important. The fact that the fintech in Europe, we have open banking, new regulation that forced the bank in order to provide API to fintech industry. So if you are working in the fintech industry, you are able to work with the API from the bank sector and to have information about the position of the customer in the bank account and something like that. And you can use this information in order to have a better enrollment for the customer in the purchasing process. So you have more information in order to decide if you create a credit or not, to allow the customer to purchase on credit, or you need to have a payment in advance. It depends from the status of the credit rate of the customer. And this is very important in order to have a sustainable business in the future. You don't have too much situation to manage with difficult in order to receive the payment that you are required to have. So this, you're right to have, because you sell something and you need to be paid for this that you are selling. And this is very tough experience, different from the B2C sector, because in the B2C sector, you pay in advance, you pay with the credit card. Maybe is a problem for Klarna or for different solution in terms of B2B, buy now, pay later, but it's not a problem for the seller. In this relation, otherwise, the problem is very huge. We have restriction for countries, restriction for different group of customers, different restriction in terms of catalog for companies and something like that. And it's not easy to create a solution that is able to solve all the different restriction, because if you move from one IP to the other, you change the country, but your shipping address is the same. So maybe you see something that you don't allow to be seen if you're using VPN or something like that, but you are not able to receive because the shipping address is always in a country that is not allowed to receive this kind of stuff. And also, it's not easy to work in this way. Another part that is very tough for a platform like Rewix is the fact that different prices have a lot of computational process that are required, because Magento, for example, is using cash. So if you have a cash, you have a single price that is the same for the customer that are in the web page and that are visited the product. But if you are using a B2B platform with different prices for different visitors, you are not able to create a cash. So you have a different requirements in terms of technology and something like that. A completely different way.
Everything's different. Basically, yeah. you can't treat B2B commerce like a B2C or D2C e-commerce. And I find that even in the consulting space, obviously the technologies and the platforms and the supporting enablement technologies are very different. Payments technologies are very different. Even the SIs, the agencies that are working in the space have a completely different skill set, a completely different understanding of e-commerce. They have to have a much deeper and granular understanding of e-commerce processes in the B2B world. And then even from a consulting perspective, there's not a lot of me out there. And I think that's a great thing. And it feels very blue ocean right now. Yeah. It feels like the golden moment in the B2B e-commerce world. I'm seeing the same thing play out in the B2B e-commerce world right now that was playing out in the B2C world 10 to 15 years ago on the maturity curve. And we're 15 years ago, B2C e-commerce was also very difficult. There was not fantastic technology out there. It was difficult. It was hard. Integration was difficult. There were not standardized components within the stack. PIMs were not common. Just almost everything about e-commerce was just super difficult. If we go back a decade, 15, 20 years ago, when I started in the industry over 20 years ago, every single thing to do with e-commerce was difficult. There was nothing easy about it. It was hard all the way around. And it's gotten better and easier and more efficient and more standardized over time in the B2C world. And I'm seeing B2B go through that same level of kind of standardization. And that's the other challenge, is every B2B business is so different. It's very difficult to say, okay, if I give you this piece of functionality, it's going to work for every single B2B business out there, because there is such subtle nuance and so many differences between these businesses that it's so difficult. And look, I don't envy you. I have a lot of respect for anybody that goes into this industry and is trying to build technology to support the B2B commerce space. I have a huge amount of respect for them, because trying to cater for the million and one different business to business selling use cases, this is a very difficult thing to do. So very impressed that you've decided to dip your toes in these waters. It takes a bold person to want to do that.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your support. But I think that the most important part of the business will be the strategy. I think the consulting firm has more important part in the success of this kind of industry, because technology is very important. Obviously, you don't have to make a mistake choosing the right platform. But if you don't have a good strategy, your project will fail. So the strategy, the consulting part, have a good consultant at the beginning. You have a strong roadmap of what you want to get with your B2B commerce is very important. Forrester and Gartner provide every year the report that this is the year of the B2B and something like that. Every year will be the increase. It's right, because every year we saw that there is an increase in the B2B transaction on the e-commerce digital channel. But I think that maybe for a explosion of the sector, there will be more important the fact that there will be consultants like you and that provide this kind of service. For example, your podcast today, in order to make the people aware that there is a different industry that is available, that is the B2B e-commerce digital channel, and is available for all the firm, the company that want to sell their product over the internet to other companies, because the idea is to sell goods and services to other company. So a company to another company. And obviously human to human is the most important part, because the company is made by a lot of human and you have to talk with them. But the customers are and the seller are two companies. So there is a different transaction. different channel.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. Now, if we look out over the next 12 to 18 months, if we roadmap out what you'd like to add to your platform or some of the features and functionalities that your customers are already asking you for, what does the next 12, 18 months of product development look for you guys over at Rewix?
We are working very strong with the AI. We are integrating Open Copilot. So I think that we can, if we started to work with GPT-J and GPT-Neo in 2020, so before the explosion of the AI industry, we worked with TensorFlow in 2016 in order to create automatic recognition of product and automatic description of product with AI. So this is the stuff that worked in the past. Now, obviously, we have a lot of tools, more tools. For example, Open Copilot is fantastic, and we are trying to integrate Open Copilot in order to have a better user experience for our customer that is not the end customer, but is the customer that is using Rewix. So we want to have a less difficult platform because the B2B is not easy to use. It's not so easy to understand like the B2C. So B2B has to be, our Rewix has to be, to be more easy to use, for example. This is the functionality that I want to work on it in the future. I think that we have all the features that are needed for a company in Italy in order to sell B2B. So I don't want to insert other functionalities, but I think that we have to work using what we have to create a better solution, mixing an easier way to what is possible to do with Rewix, because it's a little bit complex. This is not a good user experience for the and for the user in the term of experience in the back. We want to improve the ability to be more like Shopify, for example. Shopify, for me, is fantastic. It's very easy to use and something like that. The B2B is more complex, so it's not easy to have the same backend easy to use BigCommerce or Shopify. So we need to work in order to make some re-engineering of the backend, but improve the quality maybe of the framework for the front end. We want to work in the front end and to use the AI in order to create a generation of the front end. So AI can be a good alliance in order to create better solution for our customer. I think that using AI will be very useful for example, industry that are selling goods that are not easy to describe, because if you are describing a car or a clothes, it's quite easy to be very poetic and very romantic and something like that. But if you are selling hammer, it's not easy to create a different description for different hammer that are only different for the size, for example. So in the B2B, you are selling goods that are not so poetic or romantic. You are selling intermediate products that are not useful for the end user. So the description will be improve very well with AI, so we're working in this field. But the roadmap is very intense, but we are working in order to make better what we already have done, to make our engineer, to make a easier use platform. And I think that it will be very interesting for our customer to use Rewix in the future.
Love it, love it. Bringing efficiency to operations in the B2B world is a
massive win. You synthesize my bad English. You synthesize with two sentences my bad English.
It's good. No, look, I think I can understand you perfectly, so I'm sure my audience will be able
to. Thank you to you and for the patience for your audience.
No, that's fantastic. I've really enjoyed our conversation. How do you guys charge for your platform? How do you guys make your money? So you're a SaaS platform. So I'm guessing it's some form of a subscription model.
Yeah.
But how do you, like, if a merchant wanted to consider Rewix, what kind of pricing model would they expect to see?
Yeah, we are working in order to make a different price list because we want to make public the price. So in the future, I think in the next month will be possible to see the price listed publicly on our website for the subscription part of the model. And after that, we have a setup that depends from the complexity of the project, the integration that I think that we find a lot of difficulty in order to make clear for the customer which are the benefits and also which is the possibility of this kind of business model. They see, for example, at the beginning only the efficiency part of the problem, but they don't see the opportunity to make more money for the B2B. So we try to make a lot of promotion of this aspect with the customer in order to allow them to take all the possibility that the solution provides to their company. But it's not easy.
Sure. And so just ballpark, are we talking like, is this a $10,000 a month platform? Is it a $50,000 a month platform? Is it a little bit more, $2,000 a month platform?
We don't have the price that recently Shopify increased, but we try to have some, for the complete part, we try to find $2,000, for example, per month for the complete part, which is an entire marketplace. Because maybe, I don't know if Miracle is a very strong...
Yes, of course, Miracle, yeah. Yeah, French platform. Marketplace platform.
Yeah, Miracle, but it's not very well known to the public because it's a niche player for the marketplace.
Yes.
I think that is an example that we are trying to, is a benchmark for us because it's very interesting because it allows to create marketplace and the complete solution of Rewix allows to the customer to have a marketplace solution so you can sell product from your for different supplier. So if you are a B2B, for example, you can have more than one supplier and virtual product
totally.
In your warehouse. And
almost
after
like
that, you can share
model.
With your dropship, correct, and B2B to C, and you can make a marketplace, vertical marketplace. This is an idea that maybe is possible. You have, for example, the vertical marketplace for the hammers. So you have hammers in every different providers and different brands. I don't know if there are hammers with different brands, but it's an example, for example. So this is the idea. It's a very complex platform. So we start from €400, $400 more or less, and we finish with 2,000.
Sure. Makes sense. It sounds like a very reasonable. It sounds like a very reasonable price with Shopify raising their prices to $2,500 for per month for plus. And they've only got really basic, as of today, only basic B2B functionality. To have a fully featured B2B e-commerce platform with full marketing automation, order management, marketplace module for a maximum of €2,000 a month, it sounds like a very reasonable price for your platform. So look, it's very exciting. I really appreciate you sharing all the information about the Rewix platform with me today. Andrea, it's been a fantastic conversation. We're now at the point where I love to turn the microphone over to my guest. I love to let them ask me one question. Any question they like can be personal or professional. So Andrea Bozio from Rewix, what is your question for me today?
Oh, what do you think about what I discussed before? So what do you think about Rewix? What do you think about our idea to create something in an industry that's very competitive and very difficult to compete?
Look, like I said before, I applaud anyone who goes into this space, which is very competitive. It's very challenging. It's not easy. It's very complex, much more complex than the functionality usually required in the B2C and D2C world. I would say it's hard for me to give advice because I know how difficult and I know how challenging this industry is. But I think if you have a clarity of vision and you have a clarity of purpose and you have good intent, people like that and industries like that and technologies like that tend to win. I don't think you're going to win by trying to compete heads up with the Shopify's of the world. But then again, I don't think the Shopify's of the world are trying to compete with you either. I think they're on a different path. I think they have a completely different target ICP. I think that they're going after a different part of the market to what you're going after. I don't think they're ever going to try to go after the really complex B2B e-commerce use cases. It sounds like you are. You're tackling the most complex B2B use cases head on, and you're trying to build out all the functionality to support those complex use cases. And I think that's a very impressive thing to go after. It's ambitious, and there are already some pretty strong competitors in the space, but I think that there's always room. I think given the growth projections in B2B e-commerce over the next 7 to 8 years, most projections go out to about 2030. And the reality is that the CAGR projected for B2B e-commerce is about 20% a year. That is a phenomenal, and that compares to forecasts in the B2C world of anywhere from 2 to 6% CAGR. So we're talking, it's orders of magnitude larger, the opportunity in the B2B e-commerce world versus the B2C e-commerce world. And so I think that you're in the right space. I think that you're in the right target market. And I think that you're hitting your stride at pretty much the perfect time when B2B e-commerce is coming onto everybody's radar simultaneously. So I think you're on the right path.
Thank you. Thank you for your words. I appreciate so much.
No worries. And Andrea, I'll put the link to both Rewix as well as your
LinkedIn
profile in the show notes. But other than LinkedIn and through the Rewix website, how do you like people to get a hold of you?
Yeah, they can contact me by LinkedIn. LinkedIn is, for a B2B market, is the most important part of the social business. Obviously, also TikTok and also YouTube for the video part. They have a lot of important for the B2B area, but LinkedIn is the professional community that is possible to reach people in the B2B industry. So it's the most important part of the business for my side. If you want to contact me, you can contact me with LinkedIn. I will appreciate your contact request.
Fantastic. Andrea, I really appreciate your time and I can't wait to catch up with you again soon, my friend. Are you a B2B or D2C e-commerce merchant? Then head over to greenwoodconsulting.net to learn how we can help you scale your business.